Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so that we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the word with us.
I'm going to start tonight with some scripture. Guard your heart is what we're talking about. Guarding your heart, Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. If you're not guarding your heart, I can tell you that your course can be messed up quickly. So you guard your heart above everything, for it determines the course of your life. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Your heart has a thinker. I mean, So whatever's in your heart determines a lot of what your thinker is. I mean, you're thinking based on what's inside of you. That's how you think. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We as Christians, we should be conforming the world's thinking. Instead, so many preachers, including myself, get caught up at times trying to not let the world conform the thinking of our people. And we're just trying to save people from being conformed to the way the world thinks. And really what we ought to be training and equipping is for us to go out and change the world's way of thinking. Really, that's what we need to be doing as God's people. And if you don't have some of the concepts and things I'm talking about tonight out of the Word, I tell you, we're fighting a battle right now, and I just don't like Christians losing. I want the enemy whooped every time. So let's get equipped to whoop him. As Christians, we've got to know how God thinks, and then it becomes our way of thinking. So that's what we've got to do. So check your thought all the time that's obedient to Christ. In the thought that is going through your mind, whatever it is, you can always just say, is God thinking the same thing? I mean, I just had this thought. Have you ever had a thought and you're like, was that the Holy Spirit? Have you ever had a thought and you thought, there's no way that was the Holy Spirit? Obviously we do, but it's good to check those with the Lord. Is that a God thought? Is that so? Watch what you're feeding yourself, because what you're feeding yourself ends up getting in your thinking. The battle that we have so much in the Christian life is for our mind, and not just us, but people we talk with and visit with. You can hear them. They're living in fear. They're just nervous all the time. I don't know what to do. That's a battle of the mind. There's a battle going on in the thought process. The battle is between biblical thinking and non-biblical thinking. Let's not get this convoluted. I mean, it's biblical thinking. It's that simple. It's either biblical thinking or it's non-biblical thinking. And we're trying to find, well, where's the middle ground? It's biblical thinking or non-biblical thinking. And so the more you fill yourself with the Word, you know real quick, that's biblical and that's not. So we've got to fill ourselves with the Word. We don't need to live in that gray area. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We used God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thinking. Thoughts. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Okay, back to what I said at the beginning. We've got to understand you're in church tonight to get equipped to help capture some rebellious thoughts. That's what we're here doing. We're learning how to capture that. Parents, this is really big. For those of you that are parents, you're trying to figure out how to get your child thinking right. I'm going to give you six things tonight that the enemy wants to use against your child. And if you'll learn them as a parent, you can apply all of these. You can apply these principles to people that you're counseling with. There's a battle for your thoughts, what you think about life, what you think about activities, what you think about entertainment, what you think about church, what you think about friendships. If you're not checking and watching what you're thinking, you'll end up losing the battle. So we got to check our thoughts. Television shows, news, conforming the Christian to an anti-biblical lifestyle, that's the goal. The enemy wants us thinking wrong because when we're thinking wrong, we're not being effective. And if we're not being effective, then the cause of Christ is not furthering. I'm telling you, we've got to police our thoughts. Let me give you a definition of what police means. Police means, because if we're guarding it, let's just use a more definitive word, police our thoughts. Here's what police means: to patrol, to guard, or to control an event or an area. Your area sometimes in the mind seems really big. You need a lot of policemen, right? Well, it's hard to get a bunch of other people policing your thoughts because until they come out of your mouth, not everybody knows what's in there. But you do. So you're going to have to be the policeman here. A policeman are all the time looking for something that could go wrong. How does a policeman know what's wrong? Because he knows what's right. That may be like, duh. But really, the way you know what's wrong is when you know what's right. Yes. When you don't know what's right, sometimes you inadvertently do wrong. So we've got to be studying all the time to know what's right if we're going to police and make sure that something doesn't happen wrong. Well, is that okay for them to do? Is that okay for me to do? A policeman might think, well, is that okay for them to be going that speed? Is that the only way he can know if it's okay for them to go that speed is to know what the speed they should be going is. Right. So it's just a real practical thought, but I think we don't give ourselves enough credit to know at times when you don't know what's wrong, it's because you're missing something that you need to know is right. We've got to start policing our thoughts. We've got to pay better attention. Six ways today that we give ground to the enemy in our thinking. These really are areas that we need to know. Because if we don't know them, we won't know the right side of them. So you can take all six of these and you can see them as good or bad. You just have to acknowledge that they are there. Number one, an unrenewed mind. An unrenewed mind gives ground to the enemy. I don't want to give ground to the enemy. So an unrenewed mind gives ground to the enemy. I love what Dwayne Sheriff said. The flesh doesn't ever get better. I mean, it just keeps deteriorating. What we're trying to do is slow down the deterioration process. I mean, you young people are like, nah, that's not really a thought. I'm telling you, it's not long and you'll be working on it. You're trying to slow down the process of the body decaying and eventually dying. At some point, most people are either on a diet to lose weight, and a few of you weirdos are trying to gain. I get that. It's only weird because I've never been in that position. But you're doing that to try to stop the decay. So there's a physical man that you're trying to keep from being unhealthy, and you're trying to prolong what eventually will be a death because the appointed for man wants to die. That's right. So we get that in the physical case. So that's, but what about the mind? The Bible says we've got to renew our minds every once in a while. Daily, if you break down that word, it's day. It's like every time through the day, you've got to keep renewing that mind. And it's important. Because see, when it's unrenewed, it gives ground to the enemy. Now, your spirit man's as right as it'll ever be. We're three-part beings. So we're trying to keep the flesh from decaying. We're renewing the mind every second we get a chance because it's got to be renewed. And it's only renewed when it's brought back into right standing based on the Word of God. So we've got to renew our thinking, and an unrenewed mind gives ground to the enemy. Ephesians 4, verse 17. With the Lord's authority, I say this. live no longer as the Gentiles do. For they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Verse 23, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitude. You ever heard someone say, you need an attitude adjustment? Well, that's just real nice. I need an attitude adjustment. If you're married, you've thought at times your spouse needed one. They just need an attitude adjustment. What I can tell you is the attitude adjustment will come based on verse 23. The Spirit, you're going to have to let the Spirit do that. The Spirit of God. The Spirit can renew your thoughts and your attitudes. But if you're ignoring the Spirit, then you're living with an unrenewed mind. There is renewing of the mind, and if we're not daily, minute by minute renewing, we could be headed wrong. There are times when you immediately, something happens and you immediately know, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's not right. But the more that you are out of the Word, you start accepting things that you would have known was wrong had you been in your Word. But I haven't been renewing that mind, and all of a sudden I'm giving in, maybe not in my own life, but to the chatter at work. Some of the jokes, some of the things that are being said, some of the things that are being done, that's wrong. And you lose the ability to know it's wrong because you haven't renewed your mind. And your mind gets a little weirded out. Proverbs 14:12, there's a path before each person that seems right, but in the end is death. There are even times with an unrenewed mind that things will start seeming right that are not right. That's not right. But it starts seeming that way, and you haven't checked it with the Lord because you haven't been in touch with the Lord. Now, once again, I'm preaching to a bunch of people who obviously consider being sitting under the Word's important. You're here tonight. Praise God. So maybe you need to take this unrenewed mind message and, Lord, who is it that may need to hear this? And make enough notes or do something that you could communicate this Word. Because there's a path that seems right, and you watch people that are sold out to that path. But you know it's going to end in death for them. That's not going to work for them. What are you doing to feed yourself the information to help them? You've got to watch out. You got to police. You got to guard. Your Bible is the standard that you guard by. Not what a TV shows or is producing is right or wrong. Not what your friend said. Oh, come on, this isn't that bad. I don't know if you ever had a friend say that. Come on, you're getting all religious on me. Why don't I get all Christian on you? Because you're headed in a direction that's not Christian. So I thought you were a Christian. Maybe your thinking is headed the wrong direction, and I'm standing with the way God would. What would God have to say here? An unrenewed mind makes things okay that are not. Number two, an improper mind. An improper mind gives ground to the enemy. It provides territory to the devil. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. That's a big deal. An improper mind. I need cleaned of all. Well, I do that by confessing sin to Him, and He's gonna forgive me, and He's going to cleanse me. Why doesn't it just say forgive? And that's all? Because there's a dirtiness that goes with sin. And He can forgive the dirtiness, but He's going to wipe away the shame. He's going to cleanse you of that to where it's not going to hold you. If you are being held captive by something you did in your teenage years or last week, this is for you. That was an improper mind. Let's just confess it. Let's get that before the blood of Jesus. Let Him forgive us. And then cleanse us. It's an important thing. Acts 3, verse 19, repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins will be wiped away. I like wiped away. It means they're not there anymore. It's gone. It's not dirty. It's done. Unrepented sin will cause an improper mind. An improper mind is a result of unconfessed sin. Good people doing the wrong thing. Happens. Here's the sad part. Good people doing the wrong thing, watched by someone else who's not saved, all of a sudden causes them to not think right. And you've headed someone else down a path that they didn't need to go on. And it all just came because your mind's not proper. See, we're not just folding to people. At times, we're folding to God. He expects more from us. You'll find when you talk to God about what you're doing, there'll be peace or there'll be shame. I don't know if you had a grandmother that ever said this, but I did. Shame on you. Well, Grandma, I don't want shame on me. No, what she's saying is you need to feel some shame right now. And that shame, if you start feeling it, you can know that something's messed up in your thinking. So go to the Lord and let Him take care of that. Don't hold on to that. Let's get that gone. If you're counseling somebody that's full of shame, don't condemn them. They've got shame on them. Shame on them. Yeah, they shouldn't have done it. But that shame needs to be turned, and you don't hold it against them. God's not going to if they'll confess it and get rid of it. It's really pretty simple. But the enemy tries to make it very difficult. You don't know what I've done. What I'm telling you is that you've just got an improper mind. Let's get it turned around. Number three, misunderstanding of God's truth is giving ground to the enemy. I know that we get taught a lot, especially in different denominations, and maybe you were in one growing up. The question is asked, do you know where you will spend eternity? I was just asking a young lady that yesterday, do you know where you'll spend eternity? And she had a friend, she was telling me that is passing away, and I was saying, well, do you know that where she's going to spend eternity? Because there's an eternity. And I just talking to her about it, and I thought it was important that she knew Jesus, and her friend that's getting ready to pass on had cancer and she was expecting a phone call at any point of her passing. And I said, well, will you get to talk to her again? Yeah, I'm hoping I can talk to her one more time. I said, well, does she know where she's going to spend eternity? I think that's an important thing when you're talking about death. Yeah. Obviously, it's important that we know where. But I'm talking to a bunch of people that would say, I know where I'm spending eternity, so I'm not getting caught up on that. But the thing about it is, we oftentimes will only talk about your ticket to heaven and not talk about your ticket to all the things that are available here. I'm all about a ticket to heaven, and if that's all you got, that's going to be worth everything one day. So I'm wanting you to understand. But there's a misunderstanding of God's truth when that's all you receive from salvation. And so I don't want people misunderstanding the truth of God. And so there comes a way of thinking that comes with your salvation of heaven. There's a way of thinking. Praise God, I don't have to spend eternity in hell. That's a way of thinking. I like that way. That's why I got saved, because I was scared of hell. I don't know about anybody here, but that's the way I mean, they scared the hell out of me. I mean, no, they did. I was like, I don't want that. So it's not going to be a part of who I am. And so I got saved so I wouldn't have to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. Now, what I didn't know at the time is salvation included a new way of thinking here. But so many people only see it as an opportunity to go to heaven. So many churches preach salvation every Sunday. And that's what they preach. I grew up in one. Every Sunday, you need to get saved. And we're not taught a new way of thinking. We're not taught an opportunity to guard your thoughts. They're just going to come. There ain't nothing you can do about it. Well, what I can tell you is everybody has thoughts. And I really don't have a problem with a thought that comes that just flies right through and then it's gone and I don't think it anymore. Oh, that was a wrong thought. It was gone. It's the ones that get in there and just hang out. They build a nest in your thinking. I don't want that in anybody that calls themselves a Christian to have to, I don't want you having to deal with that. Well, it's okay, I get to go to heaven one day. Yeah, but what if you learned you could get rid of that right now? I don't have to be abused in my thinking by the enemy. When people start feeling bad enough about how they're living, a lot of times you'll see someone go, okay, I want to rededicate my life because I'm not sure I get to go to heaven anymore. And everything gets centered around a salvation experience that is only for heaven, and they're not aware of the salvation for life here on earth. It's included with your ticket to heaven. I love this story. A young man worked very hard to save up enough money to take his first vacation, an ocean cruise. He carefully packed all of his clothing and toiletries. Then, because he would be gone for a week, he packed cheese and crackers for him to eat. When evening came on the first day of his big adventure, the young man noticed other passengers going into the dining room and having a delicious dinner. Well, he returned to his cabin and ate cheese and crackers. The next morning, he noticed people eating a wonderful breakfast in the dining room. Well, he went back to his cabin and ate his cheese and crackers. So it went until the last day of the cruise. By then, the cheese and crackers were getting stale, and the young man became desperate for a decent meal. He went to the ship's steward and begged him, "Please, sir, I'll do anything for one good meal before this cruise is finished." The steward looked at the young man in astonishment and said, "Sir, are you not a passenger? Has your fare not been paid?" He said, "Well, yeah." He said, "Well, you know you're entitled to eat any of the food offered aboard this ship. Everything we have to offer became yours when the ticket was purchased." And all the young man could say was, I didn't know. This message is so that you don't get to the end of your life and say, I didn't know what all was available. That may be what you need to say to somebody at your work. Maybe a family member. I didn't know. Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Let's renew that mind. Let's not live in a misunderstanding of all that's available with God's plan. Someone has to explain the truth so the Bible will guide your way of thinking. Great. Then don't just depend on Sunday mornings and Wednesday night. Oh, I can't get it without somebody else. Do you realize the podcasts that are available? If you didn't hear our culture conference, every one of those is online. It's giant information. There's so much available. Well, I just can't police my own thoughts because I don't know what's right and wrong. Well, learn. You can learn what's right, then you'll be aware of what's wrong. Number four, you can give ground to the enemy. Accepting suggestions from other people without policing it by the word. I'm telling you, there's a lot of false teaching out there. And you got to be aware of it. Many are getting all of their knowledge, or their lack of knowledge, if you will, from people. Some may be good, but the good needs to be checked with the word. So if you are going to listen to a podcast, make sure it lines up with the word of God. You've got to be in the word. The good needs to be checked. Here's what happens to a lot of people. They'll get a story from someone, and they're accepting a suggestion from someone who's offended. It happens a lot. Someone gets offended, and then we take on their offense because they suggested it to us. Now, it happens. I've seen it a lot. And so they're mad. Next thing you know, someone else is mad on their behalf. And the problem with that is you start running someone else down because someone else said this, and if we're not careful, it's all based on a suggestion of somebody else, and it hasn't been lined up with the word. Proverbs 18:17, in one translation says, any story sounds true until someone tells the other side and sets the record straight. Boy, I will give counsel based on one side of the story, and I will always preface it by, I'm only hearing what you have to say about this. So if you're right, here's what I believe would be biblical counsel. But really, to be honest, I'm not going to go and repeat that to anybody because I haven't got the whole story. And it happens all the time in the kingdom of God. It's a tool of the enemy. Oh, accepting one person's story without having the whole story. People look at Christians and they're mad. Let me just tell you something about Christians. Here's a sad thing. People are mad at Christians because Christians are condoning sin or condoning things, or they're mad at Christians because they're condemning. We just can't do it right. I'm just telling you. You people, you're either condoning what everybody's doing that's wrong, or you people are condemning everybody and you just don't have enough love. And we can't seem to understand that there's a middle ground. Well, what I can tell you is neither one's right. But if you talk to someone and you only hear one side, you'll find yourself in the position of having to make a choice. And don't make a choice based on a suggestion from another person. Make a choice based on the Word of God. So I'm not saying you can't listen to anybody, but what I'm saying is make sure it lines up and it's producing the life that God would have before you jump on board or jump on that train. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, don't believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are a lot of false prophets in the world. There are many. And there's a lot of people claiming, thus saith the Lord, and God didn't say anything. And they can't back it up scripturally. Don't believe all the spirits, test the spirits. Well, I believe that was a spirit. I know it, but was it God's spirit? Because it was a spirit, but we're not testing them. And you test them based on the word. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 22, but I say, if you're angry with someone, you're subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you're in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you're in danger of the fire of hell. You don't hear that scripture a lot. It's not painted on most people's walls. It's not one that we read a lot. Jesus also said, so if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. We've got to do everything we can for reconciliation. All counsel, church, hear this today, all counsel should be for reconciliation, but first to God and then people. First to God. And if they're not going to reconcile to God, then reconciling to people is impossible. Amen. And a lot of people want reconciliation only with man, but they don't understand there's not been reconciliation to God. And that has to occur before man's reconciliation will occur. All counsel must be for reconciliation. Be careful about jumping on sides. There are two sides to every story. Number five, a blank mind. A blank mind can give ground to the enemy. Matthew 12 says, verse 43, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest, but finding none. Then it says, I'm going to return to the person I come from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. And so that person is worse off than before. That will be the experience of this evil generation. Now, that's not this evil generation right here. Jesus was talking about the generation that he was speaking to. And every generation after. This will be the experience of an evil generation. And every generation has, I talked about this Sunday, has different gods that they're trying to promote. Here's what the church has done so much of. We have lived telling everybody, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. And that's what we lived, and nobody is taught what to do. So we've swept up a bunch of areas of people's lives of what we can't do. And the next thing you know, we're filled with 100 other things we shouldn't have been doing. How does that happen? It's because we're not learning to fill those empty spaces with the things of God. And we've got to do that. So if you're going to help somebody, make sure you know, I want to help over here. We shouldn't be doing that. That shouldn't be happening. Parents, for your kids, we probably shouldn't be doing that. Well, what am I supposed to do? You feel that. You're not going to that place on Friday night. Well, what are you going to do? What are we going to do then? Well, you're going to stay at home and sit in your room. Parents, one of the greatest things you can do is to get them to not do this. Let them go do something that's better. Change the way that you're thinking and get out of the don't doing into doing. We need to know what to do. Number six, a passive mind is fertile ground for wrong thinking. Passive mind. give ground to the enemy. Christians not being motivated to action. Now, trust me, tonight I'm speaking to the choir. But if you're listening to this on podcast, or you're here this evening and this has been an area you've been dealing with, I mean, obviously I want you to hear it. But I really think this is a message for us to go out and share with people who just aren't motivated. They're passive in every area. You watch them go to church on Sunday, but when they're faced with something, they need to stand up and give a biblical understanding. They're passive. I watch this in political arenas a lot. I went to a meeting on Saturday. One of our very own, Bert, is running for one of the offices here in Missouri. And I got to tell you, I wasn't looking forward to that meeting. I mean, I'm not a big fan of him. But I love Bert. And I wanted to go hear what was said, and I knew there'd be a lot of other people there that probably needed to hear some things. Do you know he spoke the whole time with the Word of God in his hand? He goes, where I go, this is what's going. There will be an attack like he's never seen when you start carrying the Word of God everywhere. But he stood and said, this is where I'm at. If it's not here, I'm out. Those are my words. That's what I heard him say. And I loved it because he's not going in with a passive mind. We've got to get to a place where we're not passive. What do you think about this? Well, what's God's word say about it? Yeah. That's got to be our response. Yeah. What do you think about this? Well, what I think really doesn't matter. What's God think about it? See, I'm not passive in what I'm saying. I want to know what God's word says, and then we can make the application. Well, God's word doesn't address everything. I'm sorry, but that's not true. God's word addresses everything, because everything that is needed to live a godly life has been given, according to Scripture. So I'm sorry, but yes, everything that's needed for us is in the word. Well, I don't know where it's at. Well, who all have you called? Because there's safety in a multitude of counsel. And so I want some biblical counsel so that I can find a biblical response on how to think on this. Well, I just don't know. Okay, well, God is the giver of wisdom. In fact, Jesus is referred to as wisdom. I'm not going to be passive. I'm going to have an answer based on the word of God. And if I don't, I'll say, hold on, I'll get back with you on that. Or let's start Googling. I mean, we're in a day and age where you can find a scripture about everything. Now, sometimes I'll Google something and I'll go, okay, that scripture is not relevant to what I'm talking. But somebody's going to try to use that, and that's the wrong thing. How do I know? Because I just asked God, and God is the revealer of truth for me. And so I'm going to go to him, and I'm going to live based on his word and his counsel, because he is mighty counselor. I mean, there's just so much. A lazy mind. I left home at 16 because I couldn't wait to get some money, and I knew a job was necessary. Do you know a lot of young people don't know a job's necessary for money? They think just being a United States citizen is all they need to be. I'm not talking about anybody here. Or am I? I don't know. I mean, I don't. There's nobody that comes to mind. I'm just saying, the Bible says a man that don't work don't eat. Well, how do you eat? Money. How do you get money? A job. So I'm going to work at whatever capacity I can based on the giftings God has, and I'm going to move forward. And our good little Christian kids are scared to go get a job or scared to go and work. Not you. But I watch it in different arenas across the country, and what I'm loving is I'm involved with a lot of churches, and their kids are not in this mold. They're working. Parents, good job. Keep your kid working. The LGBT community are working. I'm telling you, the enemy understands this principle. And he's working. If you turn on the news right now, what I'm telling you is I don't believe all of it, but what I can say is there's a lot of things going on at our colleges right now. And they're promoting anti-Israel, anti-Jewish. They're advocating Hamas. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute here. This is wrong. Somebody's working against Israel. Who's working for them? I think about all the pride parades that I have watched in the last 10 years, 15 years. They've been doing this for a while now. When are we going to have a Christian parade that we go out there and wave a flag, one man and one woman, and we walk down the streets? Well, I can tell you we'd all be arrested, but who's going to do it? When are we going to stand and say, wait, life is not just handed to you, you have to go get it? When you have a mind full of drive and it's not passive, you're going to work hard to get somewhere. Here, smoke this. No, I can't because I'm going somewhere in life. So I'm not going to smoke that. When you're not going anywhere until heaven, let me go back to that. When you're not going anywhere until you get to go to heaven, why not just live however you want right now? But when we understand that God has a plan and purpose for our life right here, right now, then I can't live passive. I've got to do something. Well, America's just too far gone. I hear it all the time. Well, what will make America great? Trump getting back in office. Okay, well, maybe. But I can tell you this. At some point, it's got to start in your home, in your marriage, with your kids, in your community. And we've got to work the Bible back into our lives. Not just something that we got saved with and we just saw it as a promise of heaven. So guard, police your thoughts. Watch out for an unrenewed mind, an improper mind, misunderstanding of God's truth, accepting suggestions from other people without lining them up with the word, a blank mind or a passive mind. Y'all get anything out of that tonight? Hope that'll help you. Y'all stand.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.